You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
Eastern medical therapies have been around for thousands of years and continue to gain popularity worldwide. Now, in the United States, approximately 33% of adults and 12% of children use complementary and alternative medicine, which are healthcare practices other than conventional Western medicine. Eastern methodologies are centered around acupuncture, acupressure, herbal remedies and Qigong, Tai Chi, and much more. Today on Wellness for Life, we have Dr. Ivan Figueroa Otero. He's a medical doctor who practices holistic medicine in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and implements medical acupuncture treatments for children and adults. Now, his goal is to help patients in their search for total balance in life to fully achieve physical, mental, and spiritual wellness. Now, Dr. Otero is also the author of the School of Life trilogy. First, Spirituality 101 for the Dropouts of the School of Life. The second book, Spirituality 1.2 for the Disconnected from the School of Life. And most recent and last of the trilogy, Spirituality 103, the Forgiveness Code, Finding the Light in Our Shadows. Welcome, Ivan. Thank you so much for being here on Wellness for Life.
Thank you, Dr. Bennett, for having me here. Let me explain something that people should know. First, I'm a 72-year-old young man, and I'm also a retired pediatric surgeon, a former academic surgeon that was professor. Most surgeons in Puerto Rico, I trained them. So I had quite a very interesting experience and different changes in perspective, as you can tell, changing from a pediatric surgeon to alternative practitioner and acupuncturist is a little bit different, right?
No kidding. Absolutely. In fact, that was going to be my first question to you, Ivan. I was going to ask you, you know, how did this Western conventional surgeon get into holistic medicine and Eastern practices?
Well, I got a feeling, as I share in my books, we follow our heart. We follow the little compass in our heart that drives us to our goal in life and happiness and joyfulness. And you have to understand it goes differently at different points as you walk around your life. It points a different direction. And you have to be aware of the way you have to go. And if you go the wrong way, things don't come out very well. So I walked for a while in a certain path. I did it very well. And then suddenly around 61 years old, I started feeling a bit restless with my surgical career. It was not fun, no challenges going on, nothing new in my life. I mean, after almost 40 years of practice. So I said, you know, something is wrong. Let's look around what you really want to do now. And that's when I started remembering. I studied all these practices, alternative medicine, natural. I studied all this throughout the year, but I never did anything with it. So then I said, might as well, let's try something else. That's when I went back to the roots of acupuncture. I started working. And then I became an acupuncturist and I started having a little bit of fun. And then suddenly I said, you know, I got to do something else. I got to share my life story. And then I started writing books. I was 70 years old when I started writing my books. And in 3 years, I've written 4 books. The fourth is not out yet. But I'll probably write about 2 books per year for the next couple of years. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm having fun again. I'm challenging myself. I'm finding the goal of my life. And when you do that, every day you get up in the morning, you're joyful. I imagine that happens to you too, Doc.
Absolutely. You know, I'm someone that always talks about fun. And that's one of my key, I'd say, principles of life is you've got to enjoy everything you do. And even if you might be going through some pain and suffering and things that you don't want, which we all deal with, the day-to-day stresses, you've got to find the joy in it and make sure that you're having fun in your life. So the fact that you were saying 74, is it 73?
73 right now. I'll be 74 on October next year.
Right. Well, you know, at where you're at, you are feeling the vibrancy and bringing yourself back to the core person who you are. I think that's what you got is that you service people so well. You know, when you were doing your pediatric surgery, I'm sure you've helped thousands of children have better lives because of your work. But now you're finding another source of purpose, which is awesome. I'd like to ask you, you know, I know that, how did you find that as you started implementing more Eastern wet medicine, what did you find that you found was so significant for your from your patients and their changes?
The first thing is that I changed from the traditional medical career of being in charge of my patients to a career where I let my patients take care charge of their own health. And you understand that as a chiropractor perfectly well. We are trained that to be responsible as a physician, medical physicians, you tend to be responsible and you take care of your patient's health. We feel so important to patient's health. And we take over their health, and then we make a lot of mistakes because, like I say in my books, we could be wrong about what's wrong with my patient. So the first mistake is thinking that you know best for your patient. So I tell my patients, you know, I don't know best for my patients. I know how to share instruments and guidelines that you can use to get yourself in a better condition. It's responsibility. I hate codependent medical relationships. Codependent medical relations only help your income. That's about it. And you get a lot of patients because they like you to solve their problems, but they really don't get better. And your office is full of sick patients. I tell my patients, my office, you go to my office, you see 2 or 3 patients sitting there waiting their turn. And it makes me feel very happy that my patients get better and they don't have to come back to my office. And people say, you're crazy. How can you live? I live very happily. I don't know how about you.
I'm a big believer in that as well. Ivan, I know that, you know, I've shared this with a lot of patients is that it's really important that you interview your doctors and you've got to find one that you really connect with and resonate with and that your philosophy of life and health is similar, right?
I think we're always connecting to the right. When you're in the vibration of love and joyfulness, you vibrate in resonance that patients that have the similar vibration will come to you. These patients get better just by talking to you. And that's the trick. The trick is bringing people to your office that you can really help and they can help themselves. And I realized that I cannot help every patient that comes to my office because you do not connect with my vibration. And usually that happens when we market ourselves too much in the sense of advertising and putting yourself in the mode. And then you find yourself in the internet and see you, they expect you a lot of things. But these people are not connected to you. They're connected to your advertisement. So I think there's something that attracts people that really, it's something else. I can't define it. But I can tell when a patient walks into my office, I know this patient is going to get better. I don't know if that happened to you, but I know it's going to get better.
Absolutely.
And it's so easy to speak to them. They understand whatever you say. And you speak to them and they go, yes, yes, I understand. And sometimes, you know, doc, for years I've been thinking what you said to me, but I never believed myself. I said, but you better start believing it because there's many believers like us. You're going to meet many like us who think we are in charge of our lives, that we're in charge of our happiness. And that's what we have to do, take charge of our lives.
That's right. And balance is key. I mean, I don't have a big practice, meaning like I don't work 5 days a week. I only work 3 days a week. And that gives me a chance to actually live a very healthful life, you know, not just for I need to be healthy, too, to take care of my patients.
Good.
But I would like to ask you, you know, you talked about in the last 4 years, you've been writing and you wrote. You wrote 3 books that are already published. I'd like to ask you, each book, it's a trilogy. So starting from their first one, can you just give me a couple sentences of each book so that our audience knows what
first,
it's about?
The first book is written for the dropout. I was one of those. We drop out of the vibration of living or awareness of living because we go into the mood of being there like following the crowd. And then we follow the crowd and we follow what they tell you what to do. And then you're just like a zombie. And a lot of people are just zombing around the end of the world. And they're not joyful. They go from one marriage to another marriage. They go from one job to another job, whatever they do, but they're not happy because they're not looking for their source. So this first book is directed for those people who lost their source. And I go into detail since I am a scientist. And also I'm a spiritual being. I'm a dual being. I go into the scientific basis of the presence of the divine in our life. So I describe God in a new way. And I make it real both in the spiritual sense, but I make it real in the scientific basis. I think it's a unique book which I can do that. And then there's some people who don't understand that, that there is a reality in our lives about the presence of divineness that we have to accept and tap that source. And I keep telling people, we forget who we are and where we come from. If you just remember who you are and where you come from, you reconnect to your source and your life changes around. Your mind frame becomes more open to things. And then you understand other people's lives within us. As I say, we live in a universal school, but we fail to understand that we are different levels or grades at the same time. So in a family, you may have a mom that is in the eighth grade, and you may have a son that is in the postgraduate, and then you have a father who's a pre-kinder. Now, that's going to be a dysfunctional family, right? And that family would have some difficulties, but they each will learn from each other if they're very patient. And we teach each other. We're the teachers. We're students and teachers at the same time, because somebody's helped us on the way on this school. And then I have to be patient with those coming up. So this is a universal school where everybody helps each other. But we have to be patient because we can't go together at the same time. That happens a lot with husbands and wives. They want to keep together. They want to do everything right. They want to enjoy the same things. But that's not a reality. Each one may have a different view of how to live life. You may have a different view even of religion. It doesn't mean that spiritually you cannot connect with your partner because he has a different view of religion. We have to be very patient and compassionate. The universe is a huge learning school. And that's what I've talked about in my first book. The second book is more the 1.2 for disconnected. It's for young kids who don't understand the traditional religious views of books, whatever religion is. And they just want to speak about, you know, cybernetic language and programs and software. So I write to them in a very cybernetic language, the same thing. But I write, in this case, God is a universal program, the perfect creation of the universal program of love. And we as human beings, when we recreate and we receive the software and we pass it on and reprogram it, we corrupt it. As we live along, we corrupt the original program of love. And that's where our difficulties start coming, because we pass it on and it amplifies the mistake. The corruption gets worse from word of mouth. So then in this book, I explain everything in terms of software and cybernetic language so young kids understand the program of love, which is God. And my third book, the 103, is that forgives everything the mistake we've done in our life. We are human beings. We are raised to be perfect creatures, they say. We're supposed to be perfect examples of living. And this perfection goal really makes us very difficult to enjoy life. For example, if you look at the Olympics, we just finished a couple of months ago, at least the Winter Olympics, everybody remembers the gold medals. But how many remember the bronze medal? Nobody remembers the bronze medal. And the bronze medals sometimes were 0.5 of a millisecond behind the gold medal. And these people who reach to the bronze medal, they feel so frustrated and unhappy because they not reached the goal of the gold medal. See, they don't enjoy just being and doing their best. If you lack joy in doing your best, then you cannot be happy because you're never going to get the gold medal. Perfection is never obtained, but perfection can be a goal to make you better in every day. So basically, that's what I mentioned in my book.
Right. Great. You know, thank you so much for that explanation, because I didn't know the second book was actually for young people. And that's awesome, because young people
That's for younger people.
That's awesome. In the most recent book,
kids, For young kids, for college students, it's perfect. Yeah.
Right. Right. You know, in your most recent book, The Forgiveness Code, you talk a lot about emotional scars and pains that we've gone through, and how forgiveness is really key to heal fully from the inside. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
Yes. We have to understand that the whole, like I mentioned, the whole school experience, we are learning by our mistakes. And when we were given free will, in terms of theology, we're given free will, free choice. We have to understand that our capabilities or capacity are different, ability for different persons. We cannot compare fifth grader with a postgraduate level. They don't have the same capacity. They have not learned enough. So you cannot teach advanced math to a first grade student. So you have to understand that there is free will, but there are limitations to the free will. Now, free will implies a responsibility because you have to adapt to the choices that you make. With your capacity, when you make a choice, you get a result. The resulting will give you an experience of learning. It could be good, average, or very bad. And whatever the result, the good you will try to repeat again, the bad you want to stay away from. Now, so that is a learning experience. Yet we cannot feel guilty because we made a mistake, because the accumulation of mistakes makes you a wiser person. And that's very ironic, right? Because it is the very wise persons, the older, the people who've been through all our lives who can give the best advice because they've been through it. Or they share their experience, not give advice. You know, what they do is share their own experience. And we can hear them out or not and pay attention or not. So basically, guilt is what I say is a word that we should eliminate from the dictionary of law. And a lot of us are carrying guilt in our subconscious mind like very heavy anchors that carry in our heart sadness and lack of joy. And these, as you know, in your theory of chiropractic, these subconscious emotional repressions that we call guilt makes us sick. And they work through the subconscious autonomic nervous system. I discussed that in my book. And then they become part of our feelings, our sadness, our tense, our muscles are tense, our shoulders are tense. We get palpitations. We get bad dreams and nightmares. They all come from the past. My book helps you liberate those past emotions, or we call them blockages, like we have trapped them into jails in our subconscious that we have to liberate because these are part of ourselves. So basically, forgiveness is an awareness of our own limitations as humans. Nobody is perfect because we can all allow ourselves to make imperfections. Yet we have to understand that other beings also will have them do. If I make a mistake and somebody, I try the people to make me understand that I want to repent, I have to do the same with my brothers and sisters if they do it for me. I don't believe in bad people. I believe in people who are not aware of their goodness. It's very important. It's one of my phrases. People who are not aware of the goodness. That comes from the Bible. Please, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. That's a beautiful phrase, one of the last phrases of Jesus that shows you the capacity to understand when you look at people through the eyes of your spirit. And that's what he did when he looked at those people down below the cross. He looked through the eyes of the spirit that only sees God.
Can I ask you a question on this word forgiveness? Because I know, I work with a lot of different types of cases, and often I find that, just as you spoke, there's trapped energies in different areas of the body, whether it's in the gut or the heart or within, you know, the allergies causing headaches, whatever it is. And often there's an emotional somatic component. And some of the pain that people are feeling, one of it is that they cannot forgive. They don't know how to forgive. They don't know how to forgive. Well, so in your book, do you give like a framework or a step-by-step activity they can do?
You liberate the forgiveness is an understanding. The first thing you have to understand that anybody can make the similar mistake is the empathy. You have to create empathy with yourself because when we look at our past, and we all have that, and we made mistakes in our past, the tendency is to repress them and don't want to forget them. But when you do that, you forget that you're repressing a part of your personal life together with the emotion. People think you can repress an emotion without the person. No, you got to freeze time. And when you freeze time, you freeze that episode of time in yourself. And it becomes a reliving of the experience like a hell around. And then every day you relive the same experience, but you don't know about it because it's subconscious. Then it hits your body through your autonomic nervous system. And then you feel sick and then you feel guilty. You don't know why. Then you have to liberate that guilt by liberating the trap that you make for that person, which is yourself. And I'm making a beautiful exercise, which is called the forgiveness code. And when you see it, you're going to understand it perfectly well. You'll be able to do it with your patients because it's very intuitive. And you can do the exercise yourself and let your patients do it themselves. It's really liberating. My experience has been magic. they become new persons from one day to the other one. They start to love themselves again because they become whole. Remember, you left a lot of your things in the past. And as you leave parts of your personality in the past, you feel empty. And this emptiness is not only spiritual. This is physical, emotional emptiness. It's called sadness. It's called depression. So basically, in my book, I deal with that in detail. I hope you have a copy of my book. And most people can obtain a copy of...
Yes, no? I would love a copy. If you can please send it, that would be awesome.
Well, you should have. My advertising company, I'm going to really get angry at them because
we don't need to put any shame on them. But I'll tell you what, I would love one.
Please send a little note to them that you need to get a copy. You're supposed to get a copy because it's supposed to facilitate the interview. No wonder your questions are very, very optimal, which is good. But you should read the book. And also, Amazon has it for those people who are hearing the program and interview. I have it at a special rate, the ebook, for 99 cents right now. 99 cents, this is a $16 book. And who can get it. And also another thing is to give it as a gift for your friends. This is Easter week, and the next couple of weeks is Mother's and then Father's. And give it as a gift for 99 cents. You send it by email. That would be the best gift you can give somebody, forgiveness code. I think it's a beautiful book, not because I wrote it, because I feel the energy and what people react to it and the feeling that occurs in people when you start understanding what the power of forgiveness.
Well, okay.
Everything is okay.
That's great. I mean, everything you're saying, it sounds beautiful. But, you know, so much of human life is about addressing pain and suffering. You know, no matter what age we are, we all experience, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, and even spiritual pain.
There must be a reason for it, Doc.
I mean,
you're suffering.
So what can you...
Suffering is the alarm that rectifies your mistakes. If you were to raise a kid in a non-disciplinary manner and you let him get away with things in his life without disciplining, he'd be a mess. He'd be a sociopath. He'd become a sociopath. Then he'll get back to you and then he will not be grateful for what you did for him as you raised him. He will not even be proud of you. People have to learn from their mistakes. And it's not a punishment. It's a rectifying. And for example, in Oriental, it's called karma. I call it dharma. Because anything that I create as a cause, I'll react as an effect. Now, if I'm not aware the way I affect other beings' well-being by my actions, then I'm insensitive. But then it comes back to me. And then I live the experience of suffering I create in other beings. Then I go, wait a second here. Now I understand why this person was so angry and why they were so flustered. And then you become empathic. The empathy is a way of loving, understanding. That's what the Bible, Jesus taught in the Bible. We have to be empathic with the people who are poor in spirit. We have to understand they have no capacity. I call the people who are sociopaths or criminals, I call them in my first book, the unloved ones, unloved. They never have been loved by anybody. They've been mistreated by parents, mistreated by society, whatever it is. And they're angry. They don't understand love. So the only way you have to wake them up by loving them.
Let me ask you a question because, you know, I'm all about when on my shows, we want to give as much information on how they can help themselves today, right now. And if someone is suffering, if they are in pain, at the moment of them feeling it, whether it's anger, emotions, whatever it is, what is it that they can say to themselves right away to get themselves out of that pain?
Yes. Well, the first thing is that, first, let's talk about mental, emotional pain first, not the physical pain. Okay, when you have an emotional pain that you refer, and you refer that to a situation with a second or a third person, the first thing I tell people is that think within yourself that you may be wrong in your interpretation of what's happened. So the first thing, I doubt my first impression. If you go through the impression that you're being taken advantage of, or there's a secondary reason of that person to do it to you, and you start being a victim, you fall into a trap where you never get out of. The first thing I will see, okay, I may be wrong. I may need to reevaluate. And then I look for opinion for somebody else. I go search with somebody. Listen, this happened to me. Were you there present? Did you think he did it to hurt me? or take advantage of me, then you get second opinions and you see that people don't see it the way you see it. So then the third component is, let me approach this person after the things cool down and let him share with my feelings what happened. This is the way I felt. The way you acted to me, I felt really depreciated. I feel hurt. And I'm not sure what the purpose was in your action. Were you aware of what you did to me at that time? So I communicate with that person the way I felt. I found that most of the time this can be solved by good communication skills. And then we don't have to get angry, because I keep saying anger and angry, repressed anger is a poison that I create for my enemy, but I take it myself. Remember, we hurt ourselves with our anger. We never hurt anybody else unless we physically attack them. But basically, anger boils within you. It hurts you through your subautonomic system, and it only hurts yourself.
Well, Ivan, that was excellent.
Yes.
Giving us step by step what we can do, and really, figure out our own way, how we are communicating with ourselves and how we're communicating with others. That was super helpful. Thank you so much. Gosh, I wish we could talk longer. Spirituality 103 is Ivan's book, The Forgiveness Code, Finding the Light in Our Shadows. And you can find him at Ivan Figueroa. OteroMD.com/EN. I so appreciate it. Thank you so much. And you can find it also, the book, on Amazon.
I really
appreciate you being here. Thank you. And all
thank
right.
You. Thank you, Doc.
Oh,
and
you bet.
Don't
you
forget
bet.
To get your book.
Oh, you bet. Oh, thank you.
Bye-bye.
For being part
Bye-bye.
Of this Wellness for Life community. If you enjoyed this show, we would so appreciate a rave review on iTunes. Do connect with us on Instagram and Facebook. And if you need guidance in any way and want to dig deeper into your chronic health issues, I do phone and Skype consultations with people all around the world. Just go to my website, drsuzanne.com, for my contact info. And until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.